Good morning, men. Welcome back to the show. This is the Call of Men podcast, and I am your host, as always, Todd Archer. Men, so great to be back with you today. The fourth episode of the fourth season is coming along. Just so grateful for each and every one of you that tune into the show. Give a listen to what God has put on my heart and what God has shared with me. So today's show is going to be Satan, or is it you? Is it Satan or you? Get into more of that, but let's get to the prayer first. Heavenly Father, gracious God, we just thank you for today. We just thank you for everything that you will present to us today, provide for us today, and walk us through today. The lives that we'll touch today, the words we speak, just let everything that we do, you be seen in everything we do, Father. That is our main mission, is to spread the gospel and the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your Son. Everything that we do, let it be seen, let him be seen in it, so we may glorify the kingdom of heaven, Father. Father, we just ask that you watch over us, protect us, and lead us in the way that you want us to go. We trust in your paths and your ways and your timing. Father, we just thank you, ask, and pray all these things in Jesus' mighty and holy name. Amen. All right. Excuse me. Just a quick recap for those of you who might have missed it or haven't turned into the other episodes yet, because they were kind of messed up. So we'll try to get this one quick and to the point. So hopefully my internet will hold out. The last episode, episode 3, was Created for Good, where we talked about our original intent and design by God for us was good, to have a relationship with him every day, to walk with him every day, in order that we, his creation, may be good. Because as we said in the episode, is that God is the only good in our life. And as we go into today's show, Satan or you, we're going to continue that train of thought and what he's been putting on my heart as far as why we're not good without Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. What made us go from the original intent and design of being good to now having a sinful nature, or something that separated from God from the beginning. And as the separation, as we know, was caused by, or is now, and was caused by us, you, me, individuals, choosing ourselves over God's will for our lives. The choice to choose to be like God instead of being loved by God. I don't know if that's the right choice of words, but that's kind of way it came out, is that, yes, we're loved by God because we're his creation. But in order to have the love that we had in the garden, Jesus Christ was necessary to bring us back to that original intent and design of walking with God and him being with us, as it was in the garden, where we were created for him to have daily relationship with us. So I think we give, I'm not going to say we give Satan too much credit. And I don't want to diminish his impact on our lives, but there is a choice to be made. There is always a choice that in this we have a choice. We can either choose what God wants us to do, or we can listen to ourselves and what we want in order to try to find the peace and joy and happiness and comfort and everything that we want in our lives. And that's selfishness, right? So is it Satan or is it you? And throughout my life and in reevaluating my life, now that I am a follower of Jesus Christ and going back through and looking at things from a different perspective and lens that he has opened my eyes to, I see it's me. And if we go back to the beginning in Genesis, right, it is Eve listening that we were something we weren't already, wanting to be more than what God had created us. You know, it's that desire to be our own God, to be like God, and wanting that control and that authority over our own lives when there's only one person that has that authority and control, and that is the Creator. The separation comes from when we choose ourselves over the will of God for our lives. And Satan, his only power and control over our lives is what we give him, right? He only appeals to those things that we have wanted since the garden, right? To be our own boss, to be our own God, do things our own way, see the blessings of the, be in love with the blessings instead of the blessor, right? He wants us to look at the things around us, the temporary things, the things that aren't going to be here forever, and say, look, this is the good stuff right here. This is what you want. This is where you want to be, you know, and we see it all through Genesis, all through scripture, that this is his advantage when he or his demons see that we are looking to ourselves. That's when they step in and keep fueling to that fire, to fueling that desire to be and do what we want to do. In Genesis 3, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, really, we see all of this going through. We see the creation in 1, or in Genesis 3, right? We see Satan tricking Eve, right? And then in 4, even with Cain, right? God tells him, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you. Now, I know I've used this verse quite a lot, but God tells Cain before he kills Abel, before. So Cain makes a conscious choice, knowing that that's not how God created him, to go ahead and kill Cain, when God just told him, hey, you must rule over. It's not for you. That's not how I designed you. You have to do well. And if you do not, then sin will be crouching at the door, waiting to come in, waiting to talk in your ear, waiting to lead you down the path of self-indulgence, lead you down the path of selfishness. But it's your choice. It was Cain's choice, because after he talked to God and after God told him this, he still went out and killed his brother. Right? And then you got Noah. He, after the flood and everything, he went and got drunk. Right? He wanted, hey, I've done spent 40 days and 40 nights on this boat, and now I'm doing this. And he took that moment of self-indulgence of the blessing of the vineyard that God had allowed him to build and grow. And he took those took that time and took that break from doing what God wanted us to do, the call of our life that God has put on it. And he said, I'm going to get drunk. Right? I mean, how often do we do that? And I know, Noah's descendants, when the Tower of Babel, hey, we're going to not do what God said. We're going to go build a tower to heaven, and we're going to take over the heavens instead of what God commanded us to do, was be fruitful and multiply on this earth in Genesis 11, right? In verse 4. Abram, himself is in Genesis 12, 11 through 12, when he said to Sarah, his wife, I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. 12. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but they will not, but they will let you live. So Abram, even though talking to God and been promised these things of God, still chose fear himself instead of what God has already told him. Instead of trusting in God and just going and doing these things, that he was more scared for himself and what the blessings of this earth were providing through God than trusting God who gave him them blessings of his word, right? So we see that we have always, through scripture, right? Even in the New Testament, right? You've got the Pharisees not trusting God's word, making it their own, using it for their selfish desires, using it to manipulate people into what they wanted them to do and put them in a higher place of standing, which was never meant to be, but using God's word to benefit themselves. We see that today with a multitude of different pastors and churches and different things and it's been that way, it never changed. Men have always been the same because there's less God in their lives than there is themselves. The selfishness of some of these mega church pastors and everything is taking the focus off of God's true word and put it on themselves with the popularity, the books, the podcasts, the Sunday morning shows on the TV. And not to say that's not bad, but when you start turning God's word and making it look like you know more than the average person, that's where, when I say man has corrupted or turned God's word against God, that is what I'm talking about. Our opinions and our thoughts on God's word have become more important than what God's word says. And it's good to see, refreshing to see now that more pastors are reading God's word for God's word. The interpretation of man that has been implemented into God's word, the corruption by Satan whispering to man saying, hey, you know what? Does that really say that? Just like he did with Eve in the garden. Is that what he's really saying there? Or is that just a metaphor or whatever that, let's interpret that different. Because like I said before, that if I was Satan, that's what I would do. I would start picking away at the foundations of God's word, right? If we just call it the Bible says, then the Bible's just a book. I mean, that's what it means, the books, right? But Bible is just a book. Then you can change a book. You can change what a book says. You can rewrite a book. But if we continually give it the honor and glory that it requires, and when speaking of it, God's word says, right? We give it that authority. This is the word of God. And we have to, for us to give God the honor and glory, I think it's respect that we have to say those things, that we have to change our way of speaking in order that it glorifies God. Because if we're not doing that, and we just say the Bible says, well, the Bible doesn't say anything. God's word says, which is contained in the Bible. So, I mean, I understand, but it's a slippery slope. And that's how Satan gets us, is by the small details that we no longer, just like he did in the garden when he told Eve, did God say, right? He took the Lord part out, the king's, the headship out of that relationship, and just made God something simple. That's Satan. And our part in it is that, just like Satan, because Satan is a created being, the most beautiful of all, right? But he lives pride, his selfishness, his ego, all the qualities that come with free will. Free will is a gift of heavy responsibility to, as Jesus says, die to ourselves. That's the one thing that we have to learn how to do, that Satan couldn't do. That's when God cast him out of heaven, right? But it's our choice, by not filling our mind and our heart full of God's word every day, that when Satan says, oh, you're not good enough, oh, you can't do that, oh, this is, you should be shameful of the things you've done in your past, right? That's Satan. We listen to that because we care more about what other people think about us than what God says about us, what Jesus' sacrifice on the cross did for us in our lives. That sacrifice on the cross paid for every debt that you could ever owe, not just here in this material world, but in eternity. So don't diminish because you think you're smart enough, or because we think we know more than what the creator of the universe did. Don't let Satan put those lies, whisper those lies. He has no control over you. This is God gave us dominion over the earth. God gave us dominion over the things of this earth. This is our kingdom, a gift from God, this earth, to rule over and have dominion over his creation. We don't have dominion over other men, women. We don't have dominion over that part of creation. We have dominion over the earth and the animals, everything on it. Not each other. God has dominion over that. So don't listen to that lie, or don't blame Satan. Well, I'm under attack from Satan. I'm not saying that Satan is not God. He doesn't have the same abilities as God. Now, he has a legion. We know he took a third of the angels out of heaven, his little demons running around, right? Putting these little things, starting these little fires that would cause us to think that he's in control of more than what he is. He tempted Jesus. Jesus knew scripture. Satan knows scripture better than we know scripture. Like I said in the last episode, he knows it way better than we do, because we only listen to what people tell us instead of reading it for ourselves and knowing the truth. But all through scripture, it continues to show man's need for self, that you and me need us over what God said. And we continually show that. And that's one of the big things that I've realized, is that selfishness is more of the root problem in our relationships with God than Satan. Satan has gotten us to a point now that we believe so much in ourselves that it's hard for us to believe in God, to trust God, because we trust ourselves more than we trust God, right? Because most of us, you know, even for me in the past, has been, only trust God when it's out of my control, right? God doesn't want that. He wants it every day, every minute, every question, no matter how silly, goofy it sounds. He wants you to come to him, and he wants you to have that kind of relationship. with you, but it's you that chooses not to have it. He offers it, right? You know, when you follow him, when we think about how fast the gospel spread in the past, right? How quick it went. Men were willing to die for it. It wasn't a lie. We know that because people aren't going to die for a lie. Scientifically proven, all kinds of research out there, people will not die for a lie. You know, and it was set, that it's the truth, that it is the good news. And because we get in the way, because Jesus tells us, right? What do you have to do? Deny yourself or die to yourself, depending on which version of God's word you read or how it's been translated, right? You have to die to yourself. Pick up your cross, whatever your problem is, whatever mission he has put you on that is going to lead to persecution, suffering, and death, and follow me. Whoever loses his life, right? But whoever loses it for me will have eternal life, right? I mean, you will have your reward, not here. And I think that's our narrow-mindedness, is that when Jesus is speaking, we think that he is talking about here. That's when we think of Jesus as Satan's lie to us, that Jesus is here for us. Yes, he is in certain ways, but the main point is, what has Jesus called you to do? And that's to glorify the kingdom of heaven. In that alone, we can make no mistake that it is his will and his design for our lives that is in control, right? So we blame Satan. Well, Satan just attacking me today. I'm, like I said earlier, I'm not denying that it could be, but more than likely it's just, as I've seen in my life, is lack of preparation. Right. If I go and try to work on something or fix something and it doesn't go right and it's not going right, it's easy for me to say, oh, man, Satan's attacking me. And this is crazy. But God's given me the ability to do certain things in this world. And if I start breaking it down and looking at it, it's like, oh, well, I didn't think about this. I didn't think about that. I didn't pray before I got started. And the Lord, give me the strength, give me the wisdom, give me the vision to be able to accomplish this task that I'm about to take on. It might have been a lot simpler, right? But he has given me an ability to work through different problems and solve different problems, right? But that's what he's given me the ability to do. It's not anything within myself. And I think that's what we have to learn. A lot of times it's just you. It's not Satan. It's your choice to put your trust in yourself instead of God. It's your choice to choose to trust in your ability than trusting in God. It's your trust to not have that conversation, or it's your ability to say, hey, I can do this. This is something simple, and this is coming from experience from me in my past, but it's coming from a place of pride and ego instead of going to God and asking for his wisdom and his clarity and his strength and his plan for this and giving it, submitting it to him. Satan don't want you to do that, because when we do that, we truly step into the power and glory of God in our lives. And that's what he wants. That's what it was intended to be. But we have put so many things ahead of God in our lives, idols, different things that we deem more important than God. God should be through everything, prayer and supplication, right? Should be done in prayer and supplication. That's what scripture tells us, right? Everything doesn't mean some of everything, because that wouldn't be everything. That would just be some things, right? So in everything, we have to give glory to God. In everything, we have to ask for God's assistance. For everything, we depend on him, the breath that is in us. Like I said before, the only reason it's in us is because he chooses for it to be in us. And if we don't, if we listen to men, we would think that we are special because we are the only thing created in his likeness and image. But at the same time, we're the most rebellious, so rebellious in our appetite for ourselves that he wiped us all out except for eight people. So his love is great, but his tolerance and his patience is great. I mean, he's still putting up with us out of 2,000 years after his son made a sacrifice on the cross to give us the opportunity to trust his word, to read his word, believe his word as it is written, excuse me, right? And to put our trust and faith in him and him alone and quit listening to ourselves. The battle we face is 9 times out of 10, it's not Satan attacking you. It's you wanting to do what you want to do. And without asking God or making sure the things that you want to do are in alignment with who God is, the things he wants for your life, how he wants to bless you abundantly than we could ever think of, we have to go to him first and take ourselves out of the equation. We have to die to ourselves. Quit thinking we're more than what we are. We are just a created being, right? I mean, in the end, yes, we understand there's more to it than that. But if we start looking at ourselves as what we are, and that is just a creation, we're not gods, right? We are a creation of God. Then we look at Jesus. He is God. Where he says, I was talking to my brother in Christ, Mike, at church, and he said, you know, when Jesus says, why do you call me good? There is nothing, no one good but God. That is a question in itself. Why are you calling me good? Are you calling me God? Because I am God. That's what Jesus was trying to say. I'm here. See me. But because you don't know me, you only know of me, what you read about me, but you don't know me in your heart. You don't see me. That's what he was telling the Pharisees, right? And that's what his disciples realized, is that he was God, right? When everything that came that he told them was going to happened. He fulfilled the over 300 prophecies, right? So we can never doubt, we can never put the trust in ourselves that should be in God. And we have to understand that. We have to give the glory back to the Creator for creating us and being who he created us to be. So the battle that we are in, the flesh, is us. You can blame it on the flesh. You can blame it on whatever. The battle with Satan is us. We blame it on Satan. It's not always Satan. It's usually our choice. We know if we've been following Christ, we call ourselves Christian. We know what God says. Because as followers of Christ, we understand it, understand and know what and how God wants us to live our life. The sin that separates us from God is our choice. Satan just puts it in your ear that it's okay, that it's more than what it is. It looks better than what it is. You and I make the choice to sin and walk away from God. His grace and his love and his mercy is that when we do that, he is loving and graceful to allow us back into his kingdom, That was the sacrifice of Jesus, is that I love you so much, and I understand that free will brings all these choices, and you're not always going to make the right choices. You're going to walk away from me, but I will have you back. I am going to have my children back with me. Satan is not the problem. You are the problem. Your lack of faith in who God is lets you walk away from God, the Father, Son, Spirit. His track record and everything we see on a daily basis is undisputed, undeniable. Man can never do anything to outscore God. So quit thinking that you can. Quit thinking that I can. Quit thinking that any man that talks about, that preaches God's word, that myself included, that talks about God's word, I'm only sharing you what he's put on my heart, the importance of who he is and what he's done in my life. Satan is not my problem. I am my problem. And Satan has no control over me. I make those choices to listen to what Satan says, just like Eve did, just like Cain did, just like all throughout Scripture, throughout God's word, it shows us that we have a tendency to fall into, to listen to the lies of Satan and believe that the things of this world are more important than the things of the next. But as men, that is not our job. As men, we must stand on the truth of who God is. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the creator of all. And by his grace and by his mercy and by his love alone, he sacrificed his son, Jesus Christ, so that he could have his children back with him. Those who choose to love and accept him through his son, Jesus Christ. And then we are returned back to the default setting before the serpent in the garden deceived us, where God now dwells in us and lives in us. Following Jesus is the most inviting and encompassing, wanting everyone in this world to be a part of, because it's the only one, it's the only religion in which our God came to us. We don't have to go to him. So trust in that. Stand on the fact that you are the problem, not God. The choices you've made are the problem. Your choice to walk away from God is your fault. You're right. But God can redeem all of that. And God can bring you back into the fold and tell you, I love you anyway. Now follow me. Die to yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. Do the things that I did every single day, every moment of your life. Go out, help people, do things for others. Love the Lord your God, right? I mean, all these things. That's what we're called to do. It's not Satan, it's you thinking you're more than what you are. And that's very basic. There's a lot more to that. I'm just trying to keep it as simple as possible. Not only for me, I have to look at it that way. You know, as people would say, black and white. Because God puts it out there. Look, this is it. I'm it. I created you. This is how I want you to act. I love you and I want to have a relationship with you. But you have a choice. And the choice is love me. Do as I command, follow my son, or you can go hang out with the guy that I kicked out of heaven because he thought he was more than what he was too. So as men, we can no longer think or suggest that we are more than what we are. We are only more when we trust in God and walk in him, and then he will supply his power, his wisdom on us to show the world that when you trust in God, when you trust in his son, Jesus Christ, these are the things that will happen through the struggles, through all of it. It will be the way God wants it to be because I live in and through him, and he therefore provides for me. There's that trade-off, like with parents, you know, I need you to do this. And we don't always like it as children because we want to do what we want to do. But we have to trust in the truth and promises that God has given us, because they have withstood the test of time over 2,000 years since Jesus, his son, was here and offered us eternal life through our belief in him. And that's where we have to trust and quit listening to the dummy that got kicked out of heaven, because he'll feed for selfishness. It's about self, and we have to die to self each and every day, each and every moment. And as we grow and understand more of who our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is, we see that was the plan from the beginning. And we have to step into that as men. We have to lead our families in that truth. We have to lead other men to that truth. We have to be the example that God created us to be. No matter what sphere we're in, whether it be work, whether it be home is first, and then whether it be work or whatever else you do, is to be the example that Christ has created us to be. So, men, today, as you go out and do what you do, stand in the truth and the power and the glory and the love and the grace and the mercy of God, and answer the call of men.